committees. It's due of apologies for on my side, Chair.
So, but we correct.
Hello, Chair, it's Alan here. Standing Committee on Finance, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 members.
Okay.
Same as ST on Finance, Chair. We have 5 members currently. With an apology from Mr. Karim. And yes, Mr. Karim is the only apology that I received.
As Honorable Matlangu connected, the chairperson of operations.
Yes, Chair, she is here.
Oh, okay, I can see her here on the iPhone. Okay. I think we should start. There were too many meetings today from the morning. Even this one is clashing with another meeting of PBO. Okay. You are all welcome, honorable members, to this meeting. This is a joint meeting of the Standing Committee and the Select Committee on Finance to get a briefing by Parliament on the draft regulations of Parliament made under Section 65, Subsection 1, and in compliance with the financial management of Parliament and Provincial Legislatures Act Number 10 of 2009. The meeting is officially open. All members are welcome. Welcome the support teams from the Standing and the Select Committee and other officials from Parliament. Also welcome our colleagues from provincial legislatures if they are in the platform. You are all welcome. And the media and the public in general. We have already received the apologies. And then let's move to two. Who's doing the briefing? The briefing by Parliament on the draft regulations.
Good afternoon, Chair. I am Nolu Tano Bikashi from Legal Services. I will be doing the presentation.
Okay, over to you, Norton.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon to you, Chair, and to the members of the committee. I would, Alan, I'm not sure if you'll be sharing the screen or should I share my own screen of the presentation? Thank you.
I've made the compost, Norton, you can share it on your side.
Okay, thank you.
Honorable Masango, are you there?
Thank you. Can I continue?
Connectivity is a challenge for Honorable Masango.
I can hear you, Chair.
Hey, where you are, only problem your connectivity. Okay, no problem. Norutando, proceed. I will be co-chairing with Honorable Masango. You are welcome, Comrade Digelit.
Thank you, Chair. This is a presentation on the regulations that are made in terms of Section 65.1Q of the Financial Management of Parliament and Provincial Legislatures Act. I will take the committee through the presentation. We'll first look at the background and the mischief that these regulations are trying to cure. Our office was requested to provide a legal opinion on how to address the issue of extending time frames for the submissions of annual statements by legislatures and by parliament. On 31 March in 2020, during the lockdown, the Minister of Finance exempted institutions to which the Public Finance Management Act applies to from certain obligations, which include submissions of annual financial statements. Parliament and provincial legislatures could not be exempted from the FMPPLA because they are regulated by the FMPPLA and not by the PFMA. Therefore, Parliament was required to submit financial statements and annual report at the end of the financial year. The question was whether there was an equivalent provision in the FMPPLA to grant a similar exemption to Parliament and the provincial legislatures, as it was evident then that they would not be able to meet the deadline because of the hard lockdown that we found ourselves under. The FMPPLA and Section 57 provides that within 2 months after the end of the financial year, the accounting officer of Parliament must submit annual financial statements to the Auditor General for auditing and to the National Treasury. Section 65.1Q, which these regulations are drafted in terms of, provides that the executive authority may issue regulations not inconsistent with the Act concerning varying the time frame within which any Act must be performed in terms of the Act if it is necessary to achieve conformity with the budgeting or accounting cycles applicable to the public sector. We advise that there is no equivalent in the FMPPLA to Section 92 of the PFMA that allows exemption from complying with the FMPPLA. To ensure compliance with the prescripts of the FMPPLA, at least to the extent that it would allow conformity with the cycles applicable to the public sector, the executive authority could issue regulations for the approval of Parliament to give effect to Section 65.1Q. This is the wording of the regulations which we are proposing and requesting the committee to consider. The regulations will be applicable to financial management of Parliament and provincial legislatures. And the regulations would read as follows. The executive authority may, by notice in the Government Gazette, vary the time period within which any act must be performed in terms of the act if the budgeting or accounting cycle is applicable to the public sector change, whether from an exemption granted in terms of Section 92 of the Public Finance Management Act or as a result of other regulatory interventions. The executive authority may only vary a time period referred to in sub-regulation 1 that corresponds with the time period that has changed in the public sector, or it is otherwise required to be varied in order to achieve conformity with the budgeting or accounting cycles of the public sector. The process for the regulations is found in Section 59.1 of the Constitution, which requires that National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces facilitate public involvement in the legislative and other processes of the Assembly and its committees, meaning that the public must be involved in the making of these regulations. Section 65 of the FMPPLA provides that regulations made by the executive authority in terms of Section 65.1 come into effect only after they have been approved by the Parliament. That means that both houses must approve the regulations. And the important thing to mention, which with your permission, Chairperson, I would like the acting CFO, if she's in the meeting, to elaborate more on, is that the regulations need to be approved before 31 March 2022. A failure to do so would negatively affect the audit of Parliament and provincial legislatures. That is the end of my presentation, Chair. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Noruta. Didn't you request the CEO? You said who? The CFO or CEO? Whom did you request to?
The acting, Acting CFO, Jefferson.
The acting CFO in the platform.
I don't see her, Jefferson. She's using a different name.
Was she not invited to this meeting?
She was, Jefferson.
And then the next thing, she's not here. Can you please call her?
We'll do so, sir.
How do we proceed without making a presentation after this one by Nurutan?
There is a hand, Jefferson, from Advocate Jenkins.
Chairperson.
Advocate Jenkins.
Yes, Chairperson, good afternoon. And good afternoon to the members. Chair, I'm maybe just while we wait for the acting CFO, maybe there's something else happening. I don't know. I'm not aware she was supposed to be here. But, Chair, I think what needs to be added to the presentation of my colleague Nolotando and what the CFO might want to put in there is the need for such a regulation. As we saw in the presentation, the Act itself envisages that such regulations can be made. And then there was those provisions in other sectors of the public finance, namely through the Public Finance Management Act and the Municipal Finance Management Act. Parliament itself, in terms of its financial management, then found itself into quite a tight position because it couldn't finalize its financial statements within that time because of the Disaster Management Act regulations and so forth. So whereas public service then had the ability to then comply and then get proper audits done, Parliament's audit was always going to be against the background that we can't do because of a situation outside of our control, and we do not have the regulatory framework in place to then allow us to fit into the public sector. So these regulations are made to get that consistency with the public sector. So I think I just needed to say that for clarity, Chairperson. I might add as well that as when we look at the wording of the regulations, these are very specific to the cycles within the public sector. So the discretion is very small for the executive authority to extend timelines. And that is, in fact, posing a challenge where we are now after the fire of the 2nd and the 3rd of January this year, as can be envisaged or contemplated that a lot of the assets are now under a status that we do not know. We can't access the certain areas of the precinct, and we need to finalize asset registers, and these cannot happen with the prevailing circumstances. So we're sitting with a similar situation, and these regulations will not address that situation. That is more of an emergency situation where we need a provision in the Act that we will then come with the amendments to the Act later. That's my understanding. So, Chair, I think I just needed to put that in there. My proposal is for the committee to deal with questions to my colleagues and myself, and when the Acting Chief Finance Officer comes in, maybe she can also then take some questions. Thank you, Chair. I hope this was some assistance.
Okay. Thanks, Advocate Jenkins. While we are waiting for CFO, can we, in the meantime, engage with the presentation done so far? Honorable Dennis Ryder, over to you.
Thank you very much, Jay. Jay, you'll forgive me I'm going to come out straight out and say I'm feeling a little bit ambushed here by the process. We've received a document, and it says that our office, in the first line on the first slide, says that our office was requested to provide a view on how to address the issue of extending time frames for the submission of annual finance. Who requested that? I mean, what's the motivation? Why is this before our committee? Who's promoting what? Who wants to ask us to consider something? You know, without this, the CFO or the acting CFO putting the case forward, frankly, I don't see that we can have a meeting. We have a presentation of a point of view, but we don't have any motivation or a request to assess or discuss or you know, support any requests, etc. So, yeah, I'm feeling a little bit ambushed and like, you know, we're kind of sitting here not really knowing what is before us. Am I totally wrong, Chair? Am I still suffering from December fever, or do other members feel the same?
No, you are not wrong. You just want to ask. That question is important because I see there is a, what do we call it, from the research unit, two-page document which gives a summary and the background and says that the speaker and the chairperson respectively requested the two committees. Nolutando and Frank, the business before us, is it the responsibility of standing and select committees, or is the responsibility of the executive authority? And in this regard, is the speaker and the chairperson together with the secretary of parliament and the CFO, are we playing oversight over parliament as these two committees? Or there is another body which is supposed to deal with this? Or is it not supposed to be dealt with at the executive level, of authority level of the speaker? Can we clarify, piggybacking on the question asked by Honorable Ryder? Over to you, Nolutando and Frank.
Thank you, Chair. I will come in, and Nolutando, if she's okay with it, can come in after me. The backgrounds to this matter, Chairperson, and apologies for not putting that in the opening statement, is that we, as administration, I say we, the accounting officer of Parliament, was put in a position where it was extremely difficult to comply with the timeframes in the Act due to the disaster management regulations. There was no access to the precinct. The service providers that were contracted to assist with the asset register and the compilation of the asset register were not able to access the precinct. That's my understanding, Chairperson, as I'm in legal services and with the discussions that we had with finance. That's my understanding of the financial position and the accounting position of Parliament. So that itself created a problem. So we went then to the Act to say, how can we deal with this? And the Act then says to us in Section 65 that the accounting officer in subsection 3, the accounting officer must ensure that drafts of regulations required by the Act are prepared and periodically review the regulations made in terms of the Act, and when appropriate, ensure that there are new draft regulations or draft amendments then are prepared. These are then given in terms of subsection 4 of Section 65 to the executive authority, who will publish them. And to say that we have these regulations that we need to be approved by Parliament before they come operative. So that is the background to it. So that's how it got here. This is not anything other than the executive authority looking at regulations, listening to the accounting officer, whether these are necessary in terms of the Act and whether they could assist with the problem, and then asking the committee to approve these. Now, the committee issue, and this is your question, Chairperson. The Act itself, the Financial Management of Parliament and Provincial Legislatures Act, was drafted and then recommended for approval to the Houses by the two standing committees of finance. And the amendments went a similar way a while back. So the regulations also is following that path, and the previous ones, the supply chain management regulations in the previous parliament also went that path, sir. But what we have in the meantime, we have the Joint Committee on the Financial Management of Parliament, which provides specific oversight over the monthly, quarterly, and annual reports of Parliament, and then reports to the Houses. So there is that question that is there, that we saying who is the most appropriate committee to deal with this. Now, the Joint Committee on the Financial Management of Parliament has a specific mandate that's set out in the Act itself. And it can review the Act but it needs a specific resolution from the House to allow it to make recommendations on amendments to legislation and so forth, because it has that specific task in the Act itself. So, Chairperson, I hope that addresses the background issue, where they came from. These actually were under discussion since the Minister of Finance in 2020 used his power in terms of the Public Finance Management Act to exempt most of the public service from complying with the timeframe set out in the Public Finance Management Act. And one can imagine, Sheriff, I just can end with this, just for better understanding, myself included. When we're dealing with the public finances, of course, there must be consolidated financial statements in terms of the Public Finance Management Act of the whole republic. So that means we all need to be on the same page. We all need to work together, Parliament, the judiciary, the executive, all the accounting officers and executive authorities need to come together to perform this task of having consolidated financial statements. And when the Minister of Finance then, of course, allowed exemptions from those timeframes for certain public for most of the public entities, it left Parliament out of sync. In fact, even when we submitted our annual financial statements, our unaudited financial statements, the Auditor General had its own problems to provide our audited financial statements within that time frame back to us. So we made us there was an arrangement with the Auditor General then to have these documents set out in time, Chair. So that is sort of the background to understand where we are and why we need this regulatory framework. Yes, Chair, I'll leave it at that for now. Thank you. I don't know if my colleague Nala Chanda wants to come in, Chairperson. Thank you, Chair. I'm done.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm covered. Thank you. Covered everything. Thank you.
Okay. I saw Honorable Mahlangu raising her hand. Over to you, Honorable Mahlangu.
Honorable Chair, I'm covered by the presentation or the response from Advocate. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Honorable Mahlangu. Mangwen, are you able to get hold of the CFO?
Yes, Chairperson. She just joined.
Is she here in the platform?
Yes, sir. Miss November? Yeah, I just admitted about 2 minutes ago, Chair. Yes, she is here.
Our November?
Yes.
Okay. Hello, CFO. I see her in the platform, but I'm not sure whether she can hear us. Miss November, afternoon. Okay. Can we take other questions in the meantime while we are waiting for Ms. November to make her presentation? Do you have questions, comments from members? Yeah. Honorable Nabra.
Yes, Chair, thank you so much. I would really love to get to hear the CFO speak and maybe just an explanation on the timing of her joining the meeting. I see that she is writing in the chat that she cannot unmute herself. Maybe she can be assisted on that. But my question, Honorable Chair, in the meantime, to Nolu Thando and Mr. Jenkins, is whether this presentation that is done to the committee has been done in the past, and whether the in line with what you have already raised already together with Honorable Ryder, whether the committee responsible for the oversight of Parliament has been briefed already. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Thanks, Nox. Ms. November, co-host Nolutando and Charmaine, can you unmute November?
I'm sorry, Chair, I don't know how to.
I've tried, Chair, numerous times, as I would normally do with other participants. I think the problem is on her side. She needs to press the mute and unmute button.
Sorry, Chair. I know we've had some similar issue not too long ago. Maybe if she leaves the platform and then just rejoin, hopefully that will fix the problem.
Okay. I see Honorable Mashambu has put something on the chat.
Yes. Yes, Chair, if you allow me.
Yes.
I think the same questions and concerns that the members had, we have had the same questions amongst ourselves as the three chairpersons. More so that I'm the co-chairperson of the Joint Committee on Financial Management on Parliament. That where does this belong? Who's supposed to do what? How did it come? What role will they play? You know, is it because the PES, the responsible department for the PES of the country is Treasury and all that? Now we are briefed by not even Treasury, and there's that confusion. And while we are waiting for the CFO, whom we are really, I for one, I'm really not happy with the conduct. Everybody has to respect these meetings. We have another meeting, you and myself, Honorable Maswangani, where we are supposed to be in a very important meeting also. But we respected this meeting and apologized on the other meeting, which is equally important. We can't have all the members who have important things left came here and wait for her. It's unbecoming and it's unacceptable, whatever the case might be. And we did not receive any apology. I'm just unhappy with such conduct. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Mashangu, Chairperson. Do we have any other comment or a question?
Chair, I was going to say there's Mr. Henry McGregor. He's the head of the Treasury Advice Office. He offered to brief the committee or give some background to it.
Who's that?
Mr. Henry McGregor, he's the head of the Treasury Advice Office of Parliament.
Okay, McGregor. Advocate Frank Jenkins, you want to say something?
Chairperson, yes, I'll come in after Mr. McGregor. He will give, he assists. I mean, as we know, the Treasury function in terms of the Financial Management of Parliament and Provincial Legislatures Act is in effect, in fact, given to the Speaker and the Chairperson as such because of the separation of powers, although there is like the overall function still of National Treasury when it comes to consolidated financial statements I referred to previously. So we have a Treasury Advice Office that assists the Speaker and the Chair, as I understand it, with this function, and I think Mr. McGregor can give a lot of background to this. I just wanted to maybe come in after that on the issue of the way forward. I mean, I'll come in after that, after the background is given. Chair, if you allow me. Thank you.
Okay, Advocate Jenkins. Mr. McGregor, over to you.
Good afternoon, Chair. Good afternoon, honorable members. As Advocate Jenkins indicated, I'm the head of the Treasury Advice Office. This office was set up about, I would say, 4 or 5 months ago with my appointment. This request, I will request emanated from the CFO, but she will join shortly. But I will give you a background on what happened about 2 years ago. And at that stage, there was outbreak, COVID-19 pandemic was upon us. And at that stage, Chair, we didn't have any, well, basically we went to a hybrid model. We couldn't access the buildings. All of our work was basically conducted on site. And at that stage, Parliament actually, and many legislatures, not only us, ourselves, couldn't make the time, or some of us couldn't make the submission to the Auditor General in terms of our financial statements. But there's a few that did make it and submitted on time. But for example, Parliament didn't submit on time. And then it was, at my understanding, back then I was not in Parliament at that stage, but there was a back and forth between legal and between various role players. And there was no regulation, and there was nothing in the Act that gave Parliament or our executive authorities the authority to give an extension to legislatures to submit later for an extension. The minister announced then that for both the PFMA gave extension, the Minister of Finance gave an extension on the PFMA, a period of 2 months extension, and in the MFMA, another period of 2 months. So basically, they created an environment where the local government and the national government could adapt to an online working environment, and also to organize themselves to prepare the financial statements. Because, Jay, as you can imagine, all the processing back then, it feels like almost 10, 15 years ago, when we used to come to Parliament and all the journals and all the processing was done on site. So legislatures had to adapt very quickly and kind of prepare financial statements from our living rooms and from our homes. And that left legislatures with a problem. So what there was a request, there was back and forth between Parliament and I think at that stage, the CFO's forum and the legislative sector. And that's where the CFO will pick up, that we actually should have in our regulations something. The AG then recommended in our audit report at that stage, and honorable members who are part of that committee would have been briefed on some of the findings, or the findings, is that we must come up with a policy or regulation that will, if COVID...
Okay, there it goes.
Yes. Mr. Member? Okay. Parliament, the recommendation was that Parliament must come up with a regulation that will allow us a similar extension period, similar to that of the MFMA and the PFMA. Because we were left in the lurch and we faced a disclaimer at that stage. But fortunately, because of this back and forth, there was a finding in the first COMEF that was issued, was a COMEF on this. But we have explained to the AG that in terms of our law, we did the best we could, and we did inform the executive authority. I have seen the letters between the accounting officer and this executive authority. And as a result of that process, the audit process of the previous year, this regulation, with the assistance of legal, the regulation was developed. And that's why it becomes very important for us to have a regulation that basically operationalizes the Section 65. So as best as I could, Chair, Honorable Chair, that's the background that I have understood, and I have been consulted by my colleagues, and we have been going back and forth and trying to understand how best to support the legislative sector in this regard. The CFO will add, through your chair, Ms. November.
Thank you and good afternoon, Chair and honourable members. My apology, I think I am online. It's sometimes just challenging with the with laptops that doesn't want to work, or I don't know where the problem arises from. I, however, has been following. I couldn't just unmute, but I've been following the discussions and the engagement. The background that Mr. McGregor has given, it's absolutely correct. I don't want to repeat it, but just to reiterate that because our Act, FMPPLA, didn't provide for Parliament to submit late, and as you well know, it was total lockdown. We couldn't finalize everything on time because assets is something that you physically needs to review, etc., which relates to your AFS submission by 31st of May. But however, due to the fact that the departments and the government were allowed by their PFMA to submit late, we had the engagement and agreement with AG that they will allow Parliament to be able to submit also because there was enough motivation for us not to submit on time. However, the issue was the fact that our FMPPLA didn't address this matter as the colleagues as alluded to. I don't know whether there is any questions from the chair of the members that they wanted to hear from my side, but as I said, my colleagues have addressed it the way it has unfolded. I think I can also reiterate it again, the issue of the disaster, that the fire disaster. I'm not saying it will impact, it might also impact again. I need to indicate as well, last year, AG staff also suffered COVID and they were not able to finalize from their side the report on time. And we also had then to submit the report to Treasury at the later stage. However, the financial statements from Parliament side was submitted on time. So, but AG made use then of their rules to request the extension. So I think I leave it for there if there's any questions from the Chair and Member side. Thank you.
Thanks, Ms. November. Over to you, Frank.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I just wanted to add that the way forward, as I understand the process, is that committee needs to decide, joint committees, on the manner of public participation in this instance, because we do need to go through a process of public participation. And that might include, as I saw in the discussion in the chat on the side, asking the Auditor General to comment on the provisions. So just to put that on the table as well, Chair. It's not that these get approved today. We need the public participation first. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks. I heard you, Frank, saying that the report should be submitted to NA and NCOP before the end of March. If I look at our program of SCOF, we don't have any day which is free between now and end of March. And from the 4th until the 14th of April is constituency period. How are we reconciling the time frames and the programs of the select committee and the standing committees?
Chair, sorry, it's Alan Frank. Sorry, if I may come in, Chair. I've sat down with Nkululeko and just looked at our committee programs. There are days that the committee is not meeting for instance, the day of the debate on the revised fiscal, the fiscal framework, then also utilizing days that we would not normally sit on Thursdays. That's obviously up to the committees to decide if they will follow that program. Thank you.
Okay. No, we'll look at that. Okay. Members, there you are. There are comments, questions for clarity. Honorable Ryder.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, again, I might be being a little bit sick. You know, without kind of a flowchart of time frames, without a comparison, I'm not really sure what we're being asked to agree to. Now, an extension of the ability to extend time, yes, okay, but how? Who does that? Would it be a one-off? Would it be only in instances of a state of disaster? I'm not comfortable with what I'm being asked, so I'm not sure that we can agree or we can formulate a report without a firm question and perhaps also a firm time frame. And I think that the pros and cons of this would be something that would really need to be evaluated quite carefully. And I don't believe that I'm in a position to understand the depth of those pros and cons without the inputs of the likes of the Audit General. And of course, yes, I think that public participation will be most important because, you know, there are civil society organizations that look quite closely at these things, and I think that their inputs would be quite important. But perhaps I haven't focused clearly enough to hear exactly, are we looking at an extended date permanently or as a kind of a get out of jail free card clause which will allow on application, if there's a specific set of circumstances, an extension to be declared by the minister on a one-off basis. If I could just get some clarity on that, please, Chair.
Okay, Honorable Ryder. Honorable Abram.
Okay, so maybe just to check on the ownership of the regulation. Just to check with Advocate Jenkins as to the executive authority responsible in terms of the act, so that we know we are doing what we are supposed to be doing. And maybe just to come closer to what the writer has raised in terms of time frames, maybe to expand on it to say, because obviously this might be a loophole for a situation where things are normal, how then do we propose to close the gap in terms of ensuring timeous submission to the AG if when things are normal? Because we do not, I mean, there could have been a reason why this was not accommodated in the FM PPLA, because as Parliament, we need to be leading by example. So my question is, my question is, how then are we going to ensure that if it is left open without time frames, how are we going to ensure, or how are we going to regulate the issue of the late submission, random late submission? Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Noxin. Dr. George.
Thanks, Chairperson. Yeah, I'd like to just share the view of also with you know, the view of Honourable Ryder. I'm also a bit confused as to what's going on here. I have been in touch with the chief whip of my party just to ask her if she's aware that there's a delay with the financial statements, because obviously, you know, there's a committee in Parliament that also looks at these things, and she's not aware. So I'm not quite sure what process has been followed here, but it seems to me that, you know, there's obviously something that needed to be done. It is late. It's not being done. And now there's a desire to change the law around that. That's very problematic, actually. So I'm not quite sure, you know, how we got into this position, but certainly doesn't seem like the, you know, the senior management of Parliament is aware of it. So I don't know. I think we need to bear that in mind. As Honourable Ryder has said, we do need to hear from the Auditor General, and I think we need to hear from other people as well. Thanks very much, Chair.
Okay, thanks, Dr. George. Honourable Ryder, you want to make a follow-up question?
Yeah, sorry, Chair, and perhaps I should have said this in the first place, but, you know, what I'm seeing here is that the acting CFO has arranged a meeting of our committees, called us to this meeting, and then come without a presentation, but with an opinion, a legal opinion. But there's no motivation. We're hearing these things. There's nothing in my hands that I can really get to the meat of what the issue is. The CFO should have taken full advantage of the platform that she was given to put forward a cogent argument with slides and presentations and guest presenters and things. There's been no effort. This is like a last-ditch slapped-together attempt. You know, never mind Honourable Matlunga's concerns about the fact that the CFO, you know, joined late, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm still wondering about that. But the whole point is this seems to be a very slapdash, last-minute attempt to achieve something. I'm uncomfortable with it. I think that we've got currently the tail wagging the dog. I there's a very nasty feeling I have about this. So, Chair, please, if we can ask the CFO to either give us proper motivation, or if we can maybe, reschedule for a chance when we can get a better motivation from them. Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Abraham.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. Sorry, since we've been going back and forth in terms of how we go forward. In fact, first and foremost, the intention of
Ms. Abrahams. I think if we can go to the next speaker while I'm still trying to assist her.
Okay. The understanding is that the executive authority has referred this responsibility to the two committees. And if you look at the conclusion of that two-page document...
Chair, I got lost there. Can I come in again? Sorry.
Okay, you are back.
I'm back now. Sorry, Chair, I got lost. I'm so sorry. Can I continue, Chair?
Yes.
Okay. No, Chair, I was going to say that at this point, Chair, I propose, maybe I'm seconding Honourable Ryder's proposal for rescheduling. I propose that at this point, We just do not allow the CFO and her team to continue speaking, and give you, the chairs of this meeting, the mandate to consult with the leadership of Parliament regarding this particular process, so that when we come back as a as the both the joint committees, we come back with the team briefing us on an issue that we have the context first and foremost on, with an issue also that we know for certain that we have a mandate to deal with. So, Chair, if we could maybe let us, maybe let me rephrase. I concretely propose that at this point we adjourn the meeting and give the chairs an opportunity to consult with presiding officers and have an interaction with both the officials of our committees as well as the leadership of Parliament, so that we are led properly regarding this, so that when we interact with the CFO, Advocate Jenkins and Noel Thando, we do not act unfairly towards them. So we know for sure what the context is. I propose, Chair. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Honorable Abraham. Let me take Advocate Jenkins, then I summarize.
Chairperson, I mean, with respect, I'm not sure if it's if the decision is that we should come back to you after the consultations. I will stop it there. But my input is just it's very simple, Chair. It's just that the issue of Parliament's financial statements for this financial year, which will be ending in the end of March, the CFO can speak to. As far as I know, those and the timing of those will probably be affected by the fire, by the fire of 2nd and 3rd of January. So these amendments did not grow out of the emergency created by that fire. These amendments came from the disaster management, the lockdown issues, where we thought we're not going to comply. We did comply, as the CFO indicated, but we still need those regulations. Now, those regulations are envisaged in terms of the Act. In Chapter 9, it says that the executive authority may issue regulations to vary time frames or time periods within which any act must be performed. In terms of this Act, if it's necessary to achieve conformity with the budgeting and accounting cycles applicable to the public sector. So in that empowering provision, there is a clause, a checked clause, to say this discretion, first of all, you must exercise it by going through a public participation process, by having these regulations properly adopted through a public participation process. Now, that process itself is more stringent than we see most regulations being made in acts which pertain to the executive. So when we drafted this Act in 2009, that was built in already, so that there's not an abuse of this power to make regulations to allow Parliament to report on a different accounting cycle than what the public sector is involved with. So when we read this Act, there's a few references in the Financial Management of Parliament Act that says that the executive authority may exercise certain sort of treasury functions, and there's always this built-in provision in there to achieve conformity or consistency with the public sector. So it is to ensure that consolidated financial statement issue is remaining intact, so that we have this transparency in the consolidated finances of the whole country. So that is just to address the question of where does it come from, and is it just a loose discretion that's been given? Now, the question of Parliament's financial statements for this year, and those are going to the Joint Standing Committee on the Financial Management of Parliament, that is where lateness of these statements could be dealt with. But in my view, Chair, and we've discussed it as an administration, the emergency situation created by the fire is not addressed in these provisions, simply because the Act doesn't allow that at this point in time. We'll have to amend the Act if we want to deal with that. So how that will be dealt with and how it's been dealt with at this point in time, CFO can advise on, Chair, but that's not the purpose of these regulations. That's all I wanted to say, Chair. Thank you, Chair, for the indulgence.
Okay, thanks, Advocate Jenkins. Nalu Tando, are you raising your hand?
Yes, Chair, I am.
Yes, over to you.
Yes, Chair. I just wanted to say before the committee makes a decision on what was proposed regarding going back to the executive authority, maybe I was not clear when I was speaking to the process in my presentation. And the process is that the regulations were already approved and are already approved by the executive committee. So after the executive committee approves the regulations must then come to the committee because the Act says that Parliament must approve then the regulations, which is why now the regulations are in the committee. So the committee is kind of the last step in the process. If I can share my screen, and you would see that this is the letter that was from the Acting Secretary to Parliament to the Executive Authority, and the signatures here are the signatures of the Executive Authority. Then it was still Honourable Speaker Thandi Motise and the Chairperson of the National Council of Provinces, Mr. Amos Masondo. I just wanted to share that, share with the committee. Thank you.
Okay. Honourable Mahlangu, do you want to make a comment before we wrap up the meeting?
My apologies, Chair. I was attending to Chief Whip's call on something else, but I'm fine with the decision that has been taken by the committee, the joint committee.
Okay. Okay. I think, honorable members, let's do as we have been requested by the executive authority in terms of Section 65.1 of the FMPPLA that we deal with this matter. We'll have to, in the meantime, attend to the issue raised by Honorable Abraham and Honorable Ryder, Honorable Mahlangu, myself, Honorable Karim, and other members who participate in the joint committee on financial management of Parliament. In the process, we'll have a meeting, even if it's virtual, to clarify certain things, more especially the issues raised by members here. And I believe in that meeting, the secretary, the CFO and the legal team will be invited. However, be that as it may, I think we should proceed because it looks like we don't have time. If I look at the time frame that is allocated here, it's too tight. Today, I think, is the 17th, and starting from the 3rd of March, the process should be at an advanced stage. So let's agree that we proceed with the mandate given to us by the executive authority. But in between, ourselves as chairpersons will have to find a way of addressing the issues raised by members of this joint committee. And by the time we come back, all the issues that have been raised by members would have been addressed so that we all move at the same wavelength. Thanks very much, Honorable Mahlangu, the Chairperson, Appropriation Select Committee, members of the Select Committee, NCOP, Standing Committee, NA, the support team from Parliament, all of you who are in the platform, thanks very much for participating. The meeting is adjourned.
Recording stopped.